Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
One of the most frequently asked questions that we get is, how do you know it's God's voice? Anybody ever asked that question before? How do we know when God is speaking? We're a lot like Samuel. When God calls out, that we just want to run to someone else. Want to run to find out, well, you know, maybe it was this person over here that was trying to tell me something. Maybe I need to go over here to get it. But God wants to speak to you. Do you know that God wants to speak to you? We're His children, right? God wants to speak to you. You know, as I kind of wrap up my No Substitute series today, I want to tell you there's no substitute for God's voice. There's nothing like hearing God's voice. In this series, we talked that there's no substitute for vision, that there's no substitute for authority, that there's no substitute for faith, you know, because we believe in these things, and there's no substitute for hearing God's voice. You know, it says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them, and they know me. I often tell this story that I want you to relate to this today, because I want to make sure I'm talking the right crowd. Has anybody ever asked, how do I know when I hear from God? How do I know if that was God or not? Anybody ever been there? How many live in that state? You just, man, I don't know if that's God or not. You know, sometimes we just live in this state. Well, you know, all the signs keep pointing, but I'm just not sure. You know, I'm like, if it was any clearer, you know, y'all make it about as clear as mud sometimes when God's trying to speak to you. But he wants to talk, and it's the closer we are to Him, the more we understand His voice. I share this story often, that when we lived in South America, we went to South America, and we lived there for just over a year and a half, not quite 2 years. And when we went there, none of our family had taken Spanish classes. We would never went to language school. We weren't fluent in the language, and we just moved to Ecuador, South America, in the mountains, and everyone there spoke Spanish, and we just had to learn Spanish on the fly. We were just learning. We'd go to church services like you all are today, and I had no clue what that preacher preached. But you know what? I could feel the Holy Spirit. Spirit's the same. But what happened is, as I began to speak and learn the language, I developed friendships. I'd go to lunch with these that spoke Spanish, and I didn't understand half the conversation, and they're laughing, and I'm like, oh, that's funny, yeah, I'm laughing, you know. But one of my friends I began to spend more and more time with, and I understood how he spoke. And before long, I started to understand things. And so all of a sudden, someone else would start talking to me, and I would have no clue what they said. And then I would like, what did they say? And then my friend would say, they said this. And he would speak in Spanish, and then I'd be like, oh. And a revelation went off in my head that because I spent so much time talking with my friend, I spent so much time understanding him and how he talked and how he spoke and the words he used, that all of a sudden I could understand him. I could understand the same words that he would speak that I wouldn't understand if someone else said it. Because I knew him. When you know God, when his sheep know him, they will know him and they will follow him. Because you've spent time, you're honing yourself in on hearing the voice of God. I could understand it. I could understand what he said. I knew what he was speaking to me. Just like I know when the Holy Spirit speaks. Because we have to spend time with him. One of our core values at our church are listed right out there on the wall. It says that we listen, we love, and we live. Listen is we listen to the guiding and directing of the Holy Spirit. And it's the first core value we have, because I want you to know that nothing comes above listening to God. We have to listen to the guiding and directing of the Holy Spirit in every decision and everything we do. We have to learn to listen. But it's the most frequently asked question is, how do you know? How do you know when it's God? How do you know if it's God's telling you to do this? And how do you know if God's leading you to do this? Because oftentimes we kind of come up with our own thing that we want to do. And we say, well, I think God told me to do this. Really? You know, I remember who grew up, I'm going to use this term kind of loosely, but it's fun. Who grew up in the Christian dating world? Come on, you know, young people dating. Come on, I know I'm not the only young person that was a Christian. Okay, Alicia, yeah, you grew up in the Christian dating world, and then all of a sudden you tell that person, you know, I just think Jesus wants me to break up with you right now. Anybody ever had Jesus break up with you? I didn't understand that. How does Jesus break up with me, you know? Some people, we get in our own little groove, and then we make our own signs up that we say are God. Well, I want God to tell me this, so you know what? That's what I'm going to hear today. Right? No matter what the word is sometime on Sunday, you can come in, and it could be the best message ever preached from this pulpit, but if you've decided you're not going to hear anything today, you're not going to hear anything today. You can make up a determination that I'm going to get anything today. They're dragging me to church. I'd rather be at the lake. I know you would. You know? Everybody looks at this. This summer's ending. It's my last party day. You know? What if today is the day God wants to speak to you? But we come in and we make up our determinations because we don't want to learn to listen. Sometimes when the Spirit of God is speaking to us, He's saying things that we don't want to hear. It's things we need to hear. Have you ever had that conversation with somebody? You like to have that. Well, this isn't what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. You know? Parents, ever deliver that message to a child? Your kid, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's what you need to hear. You know? Yeah. Sometimes God's that way with us. Today what I want to do, I'm going to do a little differently. I'm going to invite my wife to join me. And the only way that I know to tell you how to hear God's voice is to show you through testimonies of how God has spoken to us, of how God speaks to us. And as you begin to see God's hand move, you will learn how to tune your ear to hear what God wants to do in your life. So God speaks. When does God speak? He speaks when you have a decision to make. If you've ever had a decision to make, anybody ever had a decision to make? Anybody ever bought a house? Anybody ever bought a car? Anybody ever got married? Come on. You got decisions to make, right? God speaks. He'll speak in every one of these decisions. When I started dating Tiffany, we were dating and just started dating, and I was working at a television station. I was working for WBNA, Dr. Joe. I was working for Bob Rogers down there at WBNA, and They tricked me. They brought me in. I'm going to have to stand a little bit. I can't see. They brought me in and said, hey, we need help on this TV show. And they wanted me to come in and consult them, and I did. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, I was working for them. And it was great, and I was doing back what I love in the TV world and the TV business and things. And then the TV show started growing beyond the station I was working for. The TV show wanted to grow and start to move into other areas across the entire state. The show was doing pretty well. There were three kind of owners of the show, a host and two kind of color commentators. And so they came to me and said, hey, we want you to work for us, be our director, be our producer. And we want you to come. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make you a partner. And we can promise you no money. But if you sell stuff, we'll give you a commission, and then if the show does well, we'll split it four ways. Sound like a good idea? And so I was hoping I could keep doing that and keep doing my job, but something happened, and my boss at the station came and said, "Hey, you know what? You got to either work at the station or work for them. We're not gonna work both ways. So it was a decision to make. What do I do? I've started dating my future wife, and we have two kids to take care of, and we needed security, right, man? We need to pay bills, need to get married, need to do these things. And I remember having this big decision to make, and I went to godly counsel. When you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you go to godly counsel, right? I went to my parents, went to my dad. Hey, you know, I have this big decision to make. What do I do? And he said, trust God. Wow, that's great insight. Yeah, that's perfect. Now, what do I do? Right? I mean, feel that way. I mean, I see you come up here at church on Sunday morning like, I got this decision to make, you know, pray for me. And then we pray for you and you're like, well, that didn't help. Tell me what to do. No, we're not here to tell you what to do. You know, but that's how he was. He said, trust God. And I said, okay. And so I began to pray about it, and I just kept feeling like the Lord was leading me and to take this job with no money. And I'm like, that is a dumb plan. Leave a job that I get paid every 2 weeks, and I have insurance to take a job with zero health insurance, going to start a family, and no guaranteed money. Man, that's when God speaks. How do you know it's God? When it makes you uncomfortable. Because we want God to make us feel all nice and warm and cozy and comfortable. Oh, he's God. He's love. He wouldn't put me in that situation. So I had to make a step of faith. I took the job with no money. That's what I took. And I didn't know how I was going to make it. But it allowed me to step out in faith, and it allowed God to show up in faith. I remember one of the first couple months doing the job. I'm sitting at my table, and I'm looking at my bills, and I'm looking at no money in the bank. And I remember getting up and walking to the mailbox and getting the mail and coming and opening in the mail and having a $2,500 check in the mail. When you hear all these preachers say, and the check's in the mail, you know, it was in the mail. And it came from Afghanistan. No, it wasn't an oil trade or illegal deal. I had a friend in the military that was over in Afghanistan. And I don't know how many months before he had to write that letter. But God knew when it needed to show up. Do you understand? And I sat there and I opened that letter. And he said, you've always opened your home when I needed a place to stay. You've always provided when I needed something. And I just felt like you needed this today. But I had to take a step of faith. I had to take a step of faith. And God spoke. God speaks when you have decisions to make. If you got a decision to make, you're praying about a decision, God will speak. You have to seek him. If you have a decision to make, God will speak. You may not like what he says. It may not be the easy answer, but God will speak when you have a decision to make. Do you know every decision you make, you should bring before the Lord? Every decision. Whether it's buying a house, whether it's marrying that person, whatever you do, you should bring before the Lord. He speaks when you have a decision to make. Another time that we see God speak is when he is leading you.
Years ago, I had the opportunity to go on my first mission trip with Faith Worship Center. I got to enjoy missions as a teenager at 12. I got to go on my first mission trip, so it's always been in my heart. But Jeremy and I had just gotten married, and we were able to co-lead a team to Ecuador. Actually, many of you in here were on that trip. And it had been an amazing week. I fell in love with the country and the people of Ecuador. But on the bus, we were loading up. Everything's packed. We're loading the bus in Cuenca to come home. And if you know me very well, you would know that I'm not an overly emotional person. I'm not one that cries a lot. That's just not how God made me. But I was crying so hard in the van, I could hardly breathe. And Jeremy's like, what is wrong? What's going on? And I said, I believe God's moving us here. I believe we're going to be doing work here. And he said, oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I have such ties to Ecuador. We'll come many times. And I said, no, we will live here. And he said, no, babe, everybody feels that way on mission trips. You know, he kind of passed that off, like, meh. Everybody feels that way. And I said, no, this is different. And he said, well, do not talk to me about it for 2 weeks. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast because I know what I really feel like the Lord has poured into me and what he wants to do. So for 2 weeks, I didn't speak about it. I was quiet and I prayed and I fasted. And at 2 weeks, he said, you know, I think you're right. I think we're supposed to move to Ecuador. And it's amazing because God always, always confirms. He brings that confirmation. He's not going to send one spouse out to do one thing. And the other one, he's not going to send me to South America and Jeremy stays here to do what he feels like he's called to do. When you are married, your calling may not look, we don't, even though we do ministry together, what I'm called to do and what he's called to do looks a little bit different, but we're called to do it together. And we know that God always provides a way to take care of that.
You know, that's how you know when God's leading you. When God's leading you, he provides for you. Because when God calls someone to step out, he's leading us. You know, we've heard over the years, you know, we're almost at 30 years. I don't know how many times God's calling us to start a ministry, calling us to start a church, calling us to go here. That's wonderful. Guess what? If he is, he'll provide a way. Yep. And if a 6 months, a year, a 12 month, all these things, 2 years later, you still got your family of four and no more. And I'm telling you, God didn't call you because he didn't provide the way. And God, what he calls, he provides for. When the Lord spoke to my parents and Pastor Bob at the time for us to start a church, the first Sunday, 48 people showed up, right? God provided a way. The second Sunday, 50 people showed up, and guess what? Half the others didn't that were here before. But never since then did we go less than that. Amen. You know, you're sitting in a paid-for facility today because God provides. When she said that we were going to go to Ecuador, and I did, I said, don't talk, time out. I don't want to hear it. Kathy's done told me that, and, you know, Sharon's told me that, and everybody I've been on a mission trip but told me that, you know. But you got to pray about it. But what happened was really unique. This was July 4th when we decided we were going to go. We met with Bill McDonald, and we said, Bill, we want to come. It's July 4th weekend. We said, we want to come. He said, okay, how fast do you think you can raise the money? We said, well, we're hoping to do it by the first of the year. And he said, Jeremy, it takes people 18 months to raise funds to travel on the mission field. And I said, yeah, you know, we're really hoping to do it by the first of the year, you know. And all of a sudden, we began praying. God began providing. Opened up doors for us to go speak. God began to provide. And all of these things were just falling into place because when it's God, he provides. It was remarkable as we then put everything we owned up for sale. We're going to sell everything because we're going. We're committed. We're going. She was working for a family, and they were going to come buy our car, right? Was that the first thing they were going to buy? What were they going to buy first? It wasn't a car.
No, they wanted a couch.
They wanted to buy a couch. A couch. They came in to spend $300 on a couch, and they walked into our house, and they said, oh, you decorate nice. How many have ever been to my house? My wife decorates nice, doesn't she? You know, and they come in and they say, well, your house is nice. Well, I like this. I like that. What are you selling? We said everything. And we were, at the time, we were just renting our house. And they said, well, who owns this house? So we told them. They said, what do you think he's going to do? I said, well, I guess he's going to rent it. It's what he does. They said, well, do you think all your stuff can stay here and we can just move in? I mean, it's a little weird, but they did. Our renter never lost a day. He just said, okay, so we walked out. They walked in. Our stuff stayed. They paid for everything, and they bought the whole everything. I mean, you know, I think they wanted some of my clothes, but I wouldn't allow that. I took those, you know.
In the last 2 weeks of work, I worked in my own home.
Yeah.
Because I worked in
She worked
their
at home for them, so then yeah. She got to work in her own house.
It was,
It's a little weird. But God provided. He never stops providing. If he's leading you to do something, if he's drawing you to do something, he will provide. If he's not providing and you know he's called you, then it's not the time. See, God has a perfect timing for everything. And we try to force things because we know we want things to happen in our time. But God has a perfect time. And in that time, he'll provide. And he provided everything. And then even right before we left, he said, they came in and they bought our car. Well, can we buy your car too? You can buy our car too. What else you want? You know? They bought everything. You know? But God provided. When he's leading you, he'll provide. But then we go to Ecuador. We're living there. Things are wonderful. You know, Tiffany has fallen in love with the country, the people, so have our kids, myself. It was a deep connection. We had our time planned, right? We're going to stay this amount of time. We're going to do this and this amount of time. And then what happens when the Lord speaks and it's unexpected? You know, he speaks when you have a decision to make. He speaks when he's leading you, and then sometimes he speaks when it's unexpected. So we're living in Ecuador, and all of a sudden, the unexpected. The Lord spoke to me in our prayer time, and he said, I want you to go home. And I was like, oh, okay. This is probably not going to go over well. You know how she said it's great when your couples work together and God speaks and confirms? That's not what she said to me this time.
And that is when you know your spouse and you know that he seeks God, that you know that he is leading you and he is hearing from God. And that's when submission comes in. That's when I trust you. I know you well enough to know that you are spending time in the Word, that you are praying, that you're not going to say this just because you want something. I knew that he heard from God. And regardless of my feelings, my job was to submit and to believe and trust that he knew and was hearing from the Lord.
But that wasn't the first question she asked me.
It was not.
What questions did you ask me when I said that?
What are we going to do for work? We've not been in the U.S. for a year and a half.
Yeah, she looked at me and said, how are you going to provide? I mean, come on, man. You ever felt that pressure before? She looks at you and said, what are you going to do for work? You know, you have nothing lined up. You have no work lined up. You have no job lined up. And by the way, because when we had been coming home in between our trip to Ecuador, we were staying in my parents' basement. And she said, and by the way, that's not a long-term solution. And they had already done that long-term solution with one set of kids. That welcome was wore out. So she said, what are you going to do? God's speaking and it's unexpected. See, a lot of times then we say, well, okay, it's unexpected. We don't want to take that blind step of faith. So, you know, we'll wait. We'll just look into it. I'll make some phone calls. I'll see what I can do. I'll drum up some work. You know, we start doing what we do. Mm-hmm. We start making the plan. But I was at peace knowing God was going to speak. And I said, oh, he's going to confirm it. Because she didn't, she was submissive, but she was, you know, like submissive. I mean, she was.
Like if this goes wrong, it's totally your fault. Yeah.
And so, God confirms a unique thing that happened is because he provides, even in the unexpected. I happened to call home, and I didn't even want to tell them that I was feeling like the Lord was coming home because I thought he's thinking, you're coming for my job. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. That's not my plan yet, And so I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, hey, by the way, I know you're, I didn't even tell him yet. He said, I know you're not planning on coming home for a long time. I'm like, yeah, a long time. He said, but Bernard called, and he said he wants to sell his car. And I thought, oh, man, if he tells me this certain price, it's God. And he told me a higher price. And I said, oh, yep, nope, not for me. So he calls. I said, okay. And then all of a sudden he calls back and said, that was really strange. Said, I told Bernard you weren't interested. And he just dropped the price by like $3,000. And he was going to give it to you his car for this. And I'm like, oh, man. Okay, that's the price. And I knew we were supposed to come home. So we came home. And when we're home, we blind faith. The person that she worked for before we left actually called her to give confirmation to her too and said, hey, I don't know when you're ever coming back to the States, but whenever you do, you have a job.
With a raise.
Out of the blue. Yeah. But we come back. Here we are. We're back in the States. It's a few months later. And we're sitting at Wings and Rings one day and my phone rings. I pick it up. And it was the gentleman that I had, before we were married, went to work for. The guy that wasn't going to pay me any money, that offered me nothing. You know, it was him. He called. And I answered the phone and I said, hey, how's it going? He said, things are going well. He said, are you back in the States? And I said, I am. He said, for good? I said, yes, yep. And he said, well, that's great. He said, how would you like to come work for the governor of Kentucky? Wow. Okay. What does that look like? He said, well, he needs a TV producer. And I told him, you're the best one I know. When you obey in the unexpected, God is just positioning you to be in the right place so his blessings can pass by. Oftentimes, we're the ones that get ourselves out of position, and then we go, where's God? God's speaking in the unexpected. I don't need to hear God. I'm not looking for a change of scenery. I'm not looking for a change of direction, right? We weren't looking for anything. We were in God's plan, right? Sometimes you feel like you're in God's plan. I'm in God's plan. I'm living in Ecuador. I'm a missionary. I'm in the will of God. But God speaks something unexpected. And I say, well, this can't be unexpected. Why would God tell me to quit being a missionary? Why would God tell me to quit doing this? Because sometimes we get our identity in what we're doing, not who we serve. It's not about being a missionary. It's not about being a pastor. It's about doing what we're called to do. And as I was in this position, I knew I was now in a position for God to bless me. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 19. I shared this with you 2 weeks ago. The Lord spoke it to me when I was sitting over there during worship, and I shared it with you, and I wanted to share this again. Moses says to the Lord, show me your glorious presence. And the Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. And I will show mercy to anyone I choose. And I will show compassion to anyone I choose. He then takes Moses and says, stand here. Let me position you where I need you to be. See, God's blessings flow for his people. But we have to be positioned in the right place. If you're out of position, you're not going to receive the blessing. I mean, just like the quarterback that backs up to throw the ball to the wide receiver. If he's supposed to cut out and he cuts in, he's not going to make the catch. Because the ball is going out. And he's cut in. How many times do we do that and get ourselves out of position? Because we're coming and we see a blessing over here that we think we want. Ooh, I want that blessing. She pretty blessing. Right? We've done that before. That's a pretty blessing. I like that blessing. That blessing smells good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been there. We get in those things sometimes and we start looking at something that we think's a blessing. And God's saying, I'm telling you, it's a curse. Whoo! Better stay away. Same thing happens with an opportunity for a job, right? Sometimes we see great opportunities, but they're not blessings from God. We see that dollar figure that can be a raise, but it's not an opportunity for God to bless you. But God's blessings are for his people, and they will pass by those that are in position. In Psalms 37, verses 22 through 25, it says, "For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Whose way? His way, the man's way who follows the steps of the Lord. He delights in our steps. Do you know it? Every time you take a step of faith, God says, "Woo!" He rejoices. Every time you take a step that he's ordered, he's like, "Yes, you can do it." When we take a step out of the right direction, he says, "No." And then we go, "Why is it? I don't know why all this stuff's happening to me right now." The steps are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I have been young, and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous for his sake forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Because if you take a step of the unexpected and you step out in faith, God will still provide. You're not going to have to beg for food. You're not going to have to beg to pay your bills. God will provide. When we see God not providing is when we're going in the wrong direction. And we're just going, "Where are you, God?" And he said, "I'm over here waiting on you. Why are you over there when I've clearly called you to be here?" But yet, we don't hone our ears to hear the voice of God. I'm telling you, there's no substitute for God's voice. You can't have a substitute by going, when you get a word from God, and you say, "Man, I know it's a word from God," and then saying, "But it's a little hard, I don't like it, so let me go over here and get confirmation from Brother Rick. Brother Rick, I've been feeling this, and, you know, what do you think?" And he says, "Well, you know, I don't know if it's a good decision. Okay, I don't like Brother Rick. All right, let's go over here to Brother Lou. Brother Lou, I've been feeling this. What do you think?" "Well, you know, I don't know if God's leading you that way." "Well, don't like Brother Lou anymore." Then come over here and find Jamie. Jamie goes, "Well, I don't know. Is that a good idea?" They're like, "I like Jamie." Because the voice of the Lord speaks when you listen. But when you go find your own confirmation to find what you want, to be what you want, to do what you want, how you want, you're believing your voice is greater than the voice of the Lord. You're substituting another man for God's voice. You're substituting what someone else says instead of listening to the voice of the Lord. I tell people all the time, I love prophets. I love men that speak the word of God. But sometimes if you get something and it doesn't identify with your spirit, it doesn't line up to the word of God, you need to reject that. So that's not for me. Bless you, brother, but that's not for me. Because one, it didn't line up with the word of God as every word should, as the voice of God should, will always line up with the word of God. Amen. The voice of God will never come to you and tell you to divorce your spouse. I'm just going to tell you, it won't. Because God is all about restoration. Always. Always. He's about restoration. You don't believe it? Read the book of Hosea. And then you'll be thanking God for who you got. You know? But I'm just telling you, God's always about, so his word, his voice will always line up with his word. May not be easy, because God says we'll fall, but he'll be there to pick us back up. He'll be there to bless us as he speaks his voice. We have to have confirmation. When you're married, you'll have confirmation. God begins to speak to your spouse. But you know what's really difficult? Here's what's really difficult in relationships. She could pray for me to hear the voice of the Lord. Pray for me to get closer to God. Pray for me to be the leader of our household. And then I say, "Hey, you know what? God spoke to me. God's leading me. I believe God's stirring me. And this is what we need to do." And her to say, "No, I ain't doing that. Nope. I don't like it. I don't like you. You smell funny today, and I ain't doing it." And I'm going, "How? What have you prayed for me to be? What have you wanted?" It's the same. If I pray for a godly wife, I pray for a wife that will hold me, hold my feet to the fire, be my accountability partner. I got some laughs out of women, no amens out of men. And then all of a sudden she says, you know, I don't really think we should be doing that. And you're like, oh, man, don't tell me what to do, woman. Right? So I'm telling God, the blessing you gave me, the thing you gave me, I don't want to hear your voice come out of. You know, God's voice can come through your spouse, your husband, and your wife. God's voice will speak right through them. God's voice will speak right through your children. When I was a child, I was young. I was 15 years old, 16 years old. When the Lord called us or called my parents to start this church, I remember he walks in and he had just met with Pastor Bob, and he comes in the door and I'm sitting there eating breakfast, and he turns to my mom and he says, well, you won't believe who Pastor Bob wants to start, you know, to be the pastor of that church. And boy, she had already had her list of people. She's like, oh no, who is it? Oh my goodness. And I'm sitting there eating my cereal and I was like, you guys. He's like, yep, it's us. Why? Because the voice of the Lord comes in all avenues if we're willing to listen. If we're willing to listen. There's confirmation. You know, as things began to work out for us, you know, we came, we had the job, God opened up the job and opened up the opportunity. You know, we had plans, as all of us do. We have plans, right? We plan for the future. We had plans. And in our plans, I was to make sure that my lovely wife got the house of her dreams, right? That was in the cards. That was in the plans.
So one weekend, Jeremy ended up leaving for a work conference, and it was Monday morning. He had left Sunday after church. Monday morning, I got up, and he was going to be heading home, I think, that afternoon, that evening. It was just one overnight thing. And I got up and took the kids to school and was heading to the gym like I had hoped. I had maybe neglected that for a few days, and I was happy that I was back on track on Monday morning. And I was almost there, and I hear the Lord say, go home and walk. So then I kind of argued a little bit. I was like, God, like I'm going to the gym. I'm trying to do what's healthy for me and do what's right. Go home and walk. So I turn around and I go home and start walking the neighborhood. And I'm praying, going, God, I'm here. What am I doing here? And then I got silent. And I heard him say, you will buy a home in this neighborhood. And I was like, oh, God, no, we already bought land. We already have house plans. We already have picked out the stuff. Like, I already know what this looks like. And we already decided, like, how does that work? Like, how am I going to tell Jeremy that God said we're going to not use any of those things? All the plans we had were for nothing. So thankfully, God uses both of us.
So I'm on that work trip, and all of a sudden, in my time of prayer, the Lord says, don't build by. And I thought, oh, you thought coming home from Ecuador made her mad, God. I go tell her I ain't building her a house. Woo! I'm going to be eating mac and cheese out of a box. This ain't working. You know, and I came home, and I even told a coworker I was driving home, and they could tell I was perplexed. And they said, what's wrong? I said, and you know, you can witness by telling people how God speaks to you. I said, God spoke to me this morning. They said, what? I said, yeah. And I started to tell them, and I said, my wife's going to be so mad. She wants to build a house. And so I got home that night. She had dinner made. We sat down and ate dinner. And Tiffany always says something. She says, delayed obedience is disobedience. So I knew I had to do it right away. So I said, hey, you want to take a drive through the neighborhood? She said, sure. So there's something I want to talk to you about. And I thought, yeah, you better go first. Because after I go, it ain't going to be pretty. And she said, you know what? As I was here yesterday, the Lord told me to go walk the neighborhood. I said, yeah. She said, yeah. And he told me that we were to buy a house. And I got excited because now the weight was off my shoulders. And I said, he just told me the same thing. The Lord literally spoke, don't build by. But if my natural was like, no, it's what she wants. It's what she wants, and there's nothing wrong with giving her what she wants. Unless it's not what God wants. There's nothing wrong with giving your kids what they want. Unless it's not what God wants. See, sometimes we put what we want, what our kids want, what our spouse wants over what God wants. But thank God, I have a praying wife. I'm going to tell you, you have to have a spouse that prays. If you're not a spouse that prays, begin to pray. Pray for your spouse. Begin to lift them up. Begin to come into agreement. Because God will confirm. We drove around that subdivision that night, and we came into agreement, and we looked for every house for sale in that subdivision, and there wasn't one that we liked. And I thought, well, did we miss it? I mean, that what you hear, that's what's next. Did we miss it? 2 days later, a house went for sale in our neighborhood. And it wasn't just in our neighborhood. Our front door looked at their backyard. We looked across one yard, and that was the house that went for sale. And we drove over there. We looked at the house, walked in, put an offer on it. And they accepted the first offer, and it was ours, and we moved in that house. In perfect timing. Again, God's timing is always perfect. But had I delayed a day, two, I'm not going to tell her we should sell this. I'm not going to tell her we should get rid of our land. I'm not going to tell her this. We wouldn't have been in position and in agreement to do what God said do. It's important that you come into agreement. Because God's timing is perfect. Everything that you're going through right now, His timing is perfect. You may look at it and go, well, I don't see how. There's often times in our lives I didn't see how. Looking back when it told me to quit that job, making money to go make no money, I didn't see how His timing was very perfect then. You know? But now looking back, and that phone call that came and said, hey, how would you like to work for the governor of Kentucky? Now timing looks pretty perfect, doesn't it? You know? Timing, I could go on because it got even more perfect. Because I had that job and I had to drive to Frankfort. I could have said, I ain't driving an hour to work and an hour home every day. That's awful. Then it got shorter. I started driving to Taylorsville. And right before it was to take over the church, they went ahead and moved me to my old Kentucky home. So I just have to drive a mile. Man, that's God. God's timing is perfect. But you know what's important too? Leaving a legacy of those that can listen to God's voice. Because there's no substitute for hearing His voice. And our greatest desire is for you to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. For you to hear the voice of the Lord, know the voice of the Lord, and follow the voice of the Lord. Obedience. We believe in that. We've taught our children that. They've seen us live this. Every decision we make, we say, well, we're making this. Why are you making that decision, Mom and Dad? Well, God told us to. Yeah, you could sit back in this room and go, that's crazy. God doesn't tell you that. He does if you ask. So, our daughter had lots of decisions to make as she was getting ready to graduate high school. And where to go to college, what to do. And we had went and seen some colleges, and she wanted to go to a big college and wanted to get far away and all that stuff. And, of course, that's not how Mama was praying. And so, all this was happening, and she went and spent time at Asbury, a school that I went to, and she said, I feel like God's leading me here. Sometimes it could just be a simple leading. And so we were excited that she chose that. So she did. She chose to go there. Then we're sitting there. And a few months later, she has this big plan to go to Europe She had worked all summer long, saved up all her money to take this big trip to Europe. And one day, she comes home, and she says, "Hey, I just want y'all to know, God spoke to me and said for me not to go to Europe." And at first, Tiffany got a little upset with her. "What? You've worked so hard. Why?" And we said, "You got to pray about this." We prayed about it, and then she said, "No, the Lord's confirmed it. He doesn't want me to go." We don't know why he didn't want her to go. But she felt, and I told Tiffany, I said, if we've taught her how to hear the voice of the Lord, how can we say that's not God? So we stepped back and we prayed. We let her answer the decision that God made. And she made that decision not to go. I have no clue what will be in store for her or what God was positioning her to do. But I know this. When you listen, God will position you in the right place at the right time. That's a legacy of listening. I want you to have a legacy of listening to the voice of the Lord. I'm going to have the praise team come up. And you have anything you want to add? Go ahead. Yes, she has something she wants to add as they come up.
As I was praying about us talking about this morning, I really just asked the God to reveal some things, because we make this really difficult. We think this needs to come from someone who has this theology degree and all of these years or hours of college. And God speaks to us as sons and daughters. So he gave me three things. They all begin with S, so hopefully they'll be easy for you to remember. Schedule. Do you schedule time for God? Is your schedule too busy, crammed with all the things that we feel like we need to do instead of scheduling time for him? He wants to be in your schedule, because when you prioritize something, it's in your schedule. You make sure your kids get to practice on time or to school on time, or your job has certain things that they're asking for you to do by a certain time, and you make them a priority. He wants to be in your schedule. He wants to be a priority. But when you have that time, he wants to hear from you. He loves you. But sometimes we need to be silent. Have you ever been in a room full of people and you have something that you really feel that needs to be said, and there's never a moment of silence that you feel like you can release that into your kids, into your family, into your household, maybe at work? He needs your silence as well. So ask for direction during your scheduled time. Ask for direction in the car, in the shower, wherever you talk to God. Give him that silence. "God, I need to hear from you today. Direct me in this." And the last one he gave me was say yes. He doesn't need this big, huge thing. It doesn't have to be this elaborate thing. It's a simple yes. "God, I hear you. God, thank you for your leading." I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what a yes girl she was. She was willing to say yes to some of the hardest things that we could imagine, probably. Christ said yes. All God's asking for is our yes.
Amen. You know, when I was younger, I remember riding in the car with my dad every once in a while, and I have a confession to make. I hated riding in the car with my dad places. Because not very often would he have anything on. He wouldn't have the music on. He wouldn't have the radio on. And he's not a man of a lot of words, unless he's preaching. I get it, honest. But you're driving and he's quiet. And I just thought sometimes it was the boringest ride. I'm like, well, we're just, you know, we got to go after 2 hours. It's 2 hours of silence. We got to every 4 hours. 4 hours of silence, you know. He just didn't talk much. And I learned now that he was listening. Listening to God. And the one thing I've prayed this year, and it's even in our discipleship book, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, is learn to listen. Create opportunities to listen. If we've always got something going, music, TV, games, something, well, I just got it on in the background. It doesn't matter. You can't listen. I've learned to now drive without a radio. I drive in silence many times because I've learned to listen. How many of you want to learn to listen to the voice of God? If that's you, would you stand to your feet? We want to pray for you today that you, your ears are attuned to the voice of God. That you are able to hear as God speaks to you. Because I believe he wants to speak to you. I believe he wants to speak to every person in this room. I believe he's speaking to someone right now. I know he's speaking to you. I know some of you don't like what he's saying. I've been there. It's okay. I'm on the other side of some of those, and I can look back and say, God is good. He wants what's best for you. If you want the voice of God to be clear in your heart today, I'm going to ask you to just be receptive for this prayer. That's Tiffany to begin.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful that you loved us so much, God. Lord, your deepest desire is to have this intimate, beautiful relationship, and relationship is communication. God, I ask you to open our ears, open our hearts, Father God, to the things that you would say to us. Lord, I ask you to help us set aside all distraction, anything that would keep us from hearing your voice, Father. Lord, reveal those to us. Let us see what we have that is a boundary between us and you, Father God. Lord, we ask you to speak to us. Lord, we ask you to just pour out your spirit, Father God. Lord, we want to hear you. God, we want to walk in the paths that you've called us to. We want to be obedient children, Father. We know that what you have for us is good. And we trust you. We trust that you have already laid the paths for us. God, we thank you for our eyes and ears and hearts to be open, Lord. Lord, let us be attuned to you. Let us be familiar with your voice, that we don't question, that we don't wonder or have to even ask or ponder with anyone else, Lord. That when we ask, your voice is the one that we hear.
Yes.
God, we love you. Lord, we love you.
Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have not hidden your voice from your children. God, I thank you that you still speak to your children, that you speak to those that love you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you care about every decision that we have to make. You have plans, Father God, for us. You have plans for each and every person that is in this place, that is watching this video today. You have plans that are perfect and good for them, for their family, for their children, for their spouses. Father God, I thank you that your plans are good. And Father God, I ask that right now, each and every person here, Father God, is turning their hearts to you to be willing, Lord, to hear your voice. They're willing, Father God, to say yes. They're willing to obey the voice of the Lord. They're willing to make those steps of faith today, Father God, towards the direction of your voice, Father God. I thank you that you're leading us and calling us and directing us, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that there's no substitute for your voice. I thank you that your voice is clear in your word. Your voice is clear in our prayer time. Your voice is clear in our worship. Your voice is clear in our silent time, God. Your voice, Father God, is known to your children. And I thank you, Father God, that as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And we'll know your voice even more so, Father God. Lord, I ask that you just guide us and direct us, Lord. Continue to speak to us, Lord. For those that need a shaking and a stirring today to hear your voice, Lord, shake them and stir them up, Father God. I thank you, Lord, what you're doing. I thank you for speaking to this body, this church, for guiding us and positioning us to be where you've called us to be, to say yes to building this building, Lord Jesus, when we don't see the funds yet, but to step out in faith knowing that we've heard your voice to reach this community for the gospel of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you're guiding us and directing us in everything we do, Lord. Let our core value, let it be everything we do to listen to you, to listen to your voice, Father God, to your guiding and directing. Lord, I thank you that everything you have for your people is perfect. It is good. It is well. It is well. Lord, I thank you that it is well with my soul. Lord, I am saying yes to you today, Lord Jesus. I lift you up and I give you praise today, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, that you've spoke to me in the past. I thank you've spoke to me about the future. I thank that you're I thank you that you're speaking to me now, God. And you have my yes. You have my obedience no matter what it takes.
Yes.
No matter the step of faith, God, my answer is yes to your voice.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.